Welcome back to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Good to be in studio with you here today.
Good to have you here.
Well, look, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective. And our topic for today is, which perspective is right, the coach's or the client's? Isn't that an interesting
one? Do I have a choice?
Yes, you have a choice.
All right.
Actually, I'll give you the answer right at the start of the show. They're both right, but they're different. So let me start out today by telling you a true adventure story about a journey called coaching. The story revolves around two main characters and, of course, me, the storyteller. I have to be in the story. The two characters are named the client and the coach. And I have a unique role to play in telling you this story in that I've been playing both of these roles in real life for many years. You're probably already familiar with a basic plot, you know, the plot that says the client hires a coach to go on a journey. They go on the journey, and let's hope it's successful. However, what I'm going to share with you is the unique perspectives that each of these two characters has about the journey, plus my own perspective of the journey as the storyteller. In doing this, I hope to help you, the listeners, both clients and coaches, to be better prepared for your journeys with each other. Let me clarify what I meant at the start of this by saying that this is a true story. In this case, truth is a relative word. I guess it always is, in the sense that it is my truth. It's what I've learned as a client over 18 years with a master coach who has helped me both business and personal issues. It's what I've experienced in almost 20 years of coaching hundreds of business executives involved in almost every field you can imagine. It's my interpretation of what I've learned from others by reading their books, attending their lectures, and then forming my own opinions based on that knowledge. It's what I've taken away from my coach training at the Coaches Training Institute and the continuing education that's been necessary to retain my MCC certification with the International Coach Federation. Like you, my truth is based on my perspective of any issue, and that's what this story is all about. It's about the coaching perspective from the two different viewpoints, that of the client and that of the coach. While much of the story is going to focus on the journey of coaching, which is the coach's typical perspective, I want to focus on the client's perspective, which is first about the destination and only secondarily about the journey. Now, I like to compare these two perspectives as being similar to the difference between a sailboat, and a powerboater. And if you are one or the other, there's not a whole lot of love lost between the other one because they have very different perspectives about the rules of the road and how the ocean should be used and so forth. But let me tell you, as a sailor, for me, it was all about the journey, except in races. But generally, it was all about the journey. It was about enjoying the experience of being on the water, of handling the boat, and only partially about arriving at a destination. Some describe sailing as hours of boredom interspersed with moments of sheer terror. You know, for me, the hours of boredom were precious moments of enjoyment. It was the journey, and in that sense, it was the ultimate destination. This is what most coaching books have focused on, the journey. However, I don't believe the clients sign up for coaching with the sole goal of going on a journey. I think that they are like the powerboaters. They have a specific destination in mind. This is not to say that they will not enjoy or even learn from the journey, but their goal is the end result, the destination. They're looking at coaching to provide them tools to help them reach their destination. Sometimes they're even looking for help in determining what the destination is. But I have never, and let me stress that, I have never run into a client whose goal was the journey. So this story focuses on how the client can use coaching to reach their destination goals, shorten the journey, make the journey more enjoyable, or even modify the end destination. And let me just mention that it serves the coach well to keep in mind that the client's focus is on reaching the destination, not on the journey. especially when you, the coach, are trying to explain your services to a prospective client. So let's break this down for a minute and let's take a look at the characters that I've identified for this story. First, there's the client. If you're listening, that's you, a person who's thinking about hiring a coach, or a person who has a coach and wants to get even more from that relationship. You may be interested in business coaching, which can help you to define more clearly your goals or improve your working relationships with peers and subordinates or your boss. You might be interested in becoming a better manager or leader, or you may be new to your role in your company and you think coaching is going to help you with that. Or maybe you're interested in life coaching, which could help you with your personal relationships with family and friends. Perhaps you need help in making a career change, or you may be facing that dreaded midlife crisis that we all read about. You may have decided that you need an outside perspective on these issues, both business and life, that you are facing. You may feel that you need help in sorting things out and getting clear on what the real issues are to solve these problems. Now, for the coach, it may be helpful to refresh your memory on how the client coming to the sessions for the first time looks at things that have become sort of second nature for you. It may provide you a tool to use with your clients to get them ready for the journey, because as coaches, we are focusing on the journey, the process, whereas the client is not. The process is a necessary evil. The journey is a necessary evil. They're focusing on the end result. Okay, so let's look at the coach. What's the coach's perspective? You know, as recently as 10 years ago, when you said you were a coach, the assumption was that you meant a sports coach. Boy, have we come a long way since then. And today, coaches come in more varieties than we have time to discuss. And the very definition of the term coaching still depends on who you're talking to. Some people want to draw a hard line between the terms coach, mentor, consultant, or teacher, while others are not as concerned about those differences. For those in the coaching field, probably the most agreed upon distinctions are whether you're a life or a business coach. And for purposes today, I'm referring to both and any others you want to come up with for this story. And hopefully this story is going to help you with a new client to see what the coach has done, or help you as a new client to see what the coach does, and to help guide them on this journey. You know, it's important for a coach that one of the first conversations that you want to have with a new client is to explore your definitions with that client and reach a really clear understanding about what the services are that you're offering and what the client's expectations are. You know, I have to liken the coach-client relationship to, in business, the relationship between a manager and a subordinate. And I don't think I've ever run into a situation where an employee wasn't doing well, where there was conversation about letting an employee go, that in further discussion, it didn't turn out that the expectations were not clearly understood. In other words, the employee didn't understand the manager's expectations, and the manager didn't understand the employee's expectations. Again, in coaching, understanding those expectations and those definitions at the front end is very, very critical. Now, the third role, the storyteller. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I've been in both the client and coach role, and as a client, I've had the same coach for over 18 years and could not imagine changing. You know, it was kind of interesting when I first came home and told my wife that I was hiring a coach. Her response was to question, what was I going to tell this stranger that I couldn't talk to her about? And did we have a problem that she wasn't aware of? Well, it didn't take long for her to not only accept my having a coach and my choice of a coach, but for her to develop a new automatic response when we had a difference of opinion. Her response started to sound something like this. I think you should talk to your coach about this. She identified that she had a new ally. When I couldn't see things clearly, she would send me to my coach. You know, I've been coaching for 18 years. I've been a master certified coach since 1999. And I frequently refer to what I do as coach-sulting, meaning that I coach and consult. My coaching is with business people from the manager level to the top executive, and it ranges from startups to multinational companies. I have a degree in finance and computer science, which is to say that I tend to be comfortable with numbers and computers, but I'm not an expert any longer with either. I spent 20 years creating and facilitating CEO peer groups for executives. My coaching clients hire me because I talk their language, not because I'm going to bring them the exact solution, not because I'm an expert in computers anymore, not because I'm an expert in finance, but I understand the language in those areas. I've worked for large companies, small companies, and started my own companies. I've lived with office politics, been kept awake at night wondering how to make payroll that week. These are the windows through which I see the world and practice my coaching and write this story. And it is that perspective, in many cases, that makes the client comfortable with their selection to use me as their coach. So those enough for definitions. Let's move on to the start of the story, which is to describe who is the best person to guide you, the client, on this journey. We start with you thinking of hiring a coach. Well, what prompted this thought? Did someone suggest you hire a coach to help with something you were complaining about or wishing about? Did your boss suggest you hire a coach? Did you meet a coach who suggested that you hire him or her? Or did you just realize that you lacked something that would help you reach your destination goals and thought a coach would help? So what do you do when you decide to buy something these days? And I'm not talking about coaching services, but anything, whether it's a box of Christmas cards or whether it's a new car. Well, the first thing we all do these days is we go to the internet and we start to look. So let's say you're going to buy a car. Would you start by defining what you really need and the reasons for buying a car? Yeah, you might. You might say, well, I'm going to eliminate looking at trucks, sports cars, SUVs. I'm going to focus on cars that give me great gas mileage. That's what's important to me. And if you wanted a car that give you great gas mileage, would you ask your next door neighbor who just bought a Ferrari where he got his? No. The first step in your search for a coach is to define the end result that you're looking for. In the car search, it was gas mileage. In the coaching search, you need to define what you're looking for before you can start looking for the coach. People use coaches for many reasons, but as we've already stated, the bottom line is usually they need help in reaching some destination, some end goal. And that destination may be behavioral in the sense that you want to change a way that you're currently behaving, or it may be a new behavior that you want to adopt. Some examples that I've run into is people that need help becoming a better listener. People that need help in expressing their feelings, or they need help in controlling their emotions, or maybe they just need someone to talk things out with and get good, honest feedback. Let's look at some of the typical reasons that people come to coaching. First one might be, I need someone to talk about with my issues. Many clients feel that to say that they need someone to talk to is a sign of weakness. It's admitting that they can't handle the situation, a definite no-no in the macho business world. For some, it says that I can't talk to my business partner or my spouse about these issues, either because they wouldn't understand or I can't trust them to be honest with me about the issues, or maybe it would just be embarrassing to discuss these issues with them. Those could be valid reasons, or they could be just excuses. They might not really understand, or they truly may not be trusted to give you honest feedback. Now, from the coach's perspective, while this is one of the most common reasons for people to decide to hire a coach, that they need someone to talk to, it is also one that is almost never expressed early on in the coaching engagement or in the selection process. It's up to the coach to peel back the discussion, to identify that the reason the client is coming to coaching is they need to have someone to talk to about some of their problems. It's up to the coach to make sure that the client gets honest feedback. Being honest about feedback is not usually an issue for the coach. I don't think I can think of a situation where a coach was not honest about giving feedback. But what is difficult for many of us as coaches is telling clients things they don't want to hear. And you know, by not saying anything, that's just as dishonest as giving improper or dishonest feedback. It's up to the coach to be the mirror for the client, to reflect back for the client how others are perceiving the client with no filtering. The client needs to know that they'll get this kind of honest feedback and they will not be judged negatively for needing help. Another reason that people come to coaching, common reason, is they're having trouble with some relationship. You know, all of the statistics show that the number one reason that managers hire a coach for one of their staff is because of relationship issues. This is also an area where group coaching or a combination of individual and group coaching might be called for. Statistics show that the primary reason that employees leave a company is because of not having a good relationship with their direct supervisor. And only through the use of a coach, not someone involved in the relationship, can the issues really be brought out into the open in a non-threatening way that allows the participants to create new perspectives and guidelines for moving forward. You know, for the coach, this is an area that needs to be carefully evaluated to determine whether it's group coaching or individual coaching that's going to be the solution for this problem. Relationship coaching in a business environment is as critical as if you were dealing with relationship coaching in a marital situation. It has the same kind of huge pluses and minuses if it goes wrong. Another reason for people to come to coaching is they want is skill orientation. They come because they want to learn a new skill or they want to get better at an existing skill. Sometimes they want help in writing a book, or they need help in becoming a better manager, or they need help in communicating better, or maybe there's some particular business problem that they need help in. Now, from the coach's perspective, in this case, the role of the coach versus that of a trainer sometimes gets blurred. You know, and you might ask if the coach needs to be an expert in the skill area to actually coach it. Well, if you were hiring a trainer, the response is yes, they need to be an expert. But if you're hiring a coach, the answer is no, they don't need to be an expert. Why? Because the coach's role is not to teach you the skill, but to help you identify what you need to learn, how is the best way for you to learn this, what steps are involved, what programs need to be designed to implement this learning, and how are you going to be held accountable for this. Another common reason for people coming to coaching is I need help solving a business problem. The key word here is I need help solving, which is a lot different than I need the answer to the business problem. If you want the one right answer to a business problem, then I would suggest that you should go hire the best and the most experienced consultant that you can find who has a track record of dealing in this area. However, be cautious because often the issue or the problem that we think we need an answer to is not the real issue. What a good coach will do is lead you through a series of steps to be sure that the issue you've stated is the real underlying issue and not just a symptom of the problem. The coach will then work with you to identify different ways that you can look at the problem and potential solutions. Now, this is why we're talking about the differences in perspectives. The client not familiar with coaching approaches it with the perspective that the coach is going to give me the answer to this business problem. The coach who's experienced in this area approaches it with the perspective that I'm going to help them figure out how to find the answer to this problem. Two totally different perspectives that if they aren't understood by the two people involved, the coach and the client, can lead to a lot of frustration. Well, let me just share with you why I think this is so important in a process that I used for 20 years in my facilitating of executive roundtables. You know, executives would come to the monthly meeting and they would say, I have a problem, I want to get the group to help me answer it. The system we used was the first step was for the client to state the issue that they wanted help on. The next step was to go around the table and let each person ask clarifying questions to be sure that we understood the issue. We didn't allow any storytelling or any giving of advice during this phase. The next step was to go back to the client and have them restate the issue. In almost all cases, we found that the original issue, the original problem that the client stated, was not the issue that they now restated, that they either changed the issue as a result of the questioning that went on, or they were able to more clearly, specifically define the issue in a different way. And you know what? They say that if you can define the problem that you're having, you've practically solved the problem. You know, coaches are trained not to give advice, but to believe that the client is whole, healthy, and fully capable of solving their own problems. However, this new perspective has to fight with years of experience gained by solving problems for people. In the real world, a coach will first ask questions to help the client gain a new perspective that will help them solve the problem themselves. And only when this doesn't appear to be working will the coach then ask the client for permission to volunteer a solution or opinion if they have one and if it's appropriate at that time. Couple more problems here. Time management. You know, I think almost every client I've ever had come to me for coaching at one point or another says, I need some help with time management. You know, we all have time management problems. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Great radio show on time management. Go back to our archives and you can listen to it. But what is the real issue since we can't add more hours to the day or to the week? Time management is just a symptom for a number of other problems. The problem may be lack of focus. The problem may be the inability to set priorities. The problem may be your inability to delegate work. Or the problem may be our inability to say no to requests to do things. What a coach will do in the time management area is help you dig deeper, peel back the onion, to find out what is really causing your time management problem, and then work with you to set up the systems and the procedures. You know, the caution for the coach from the coach's perspective is to work with the client to find out the real cause, not just the effect of what the client thinks the problem is. It's sort of like we go to a doctor with symptoms, and we look to the doctor then to tell us what the real disease is and how to treat it. Coaching is similar. Clients come to us with symptoms, we provide the diagnosis, and then we send them off to treat themselves with maybe some follow-up meetings. Accountability is another issue that is frequently driving people to coaching. You know, the destination may be accountability when you already know what you need to do, but you just don't seem to be able to accomplish it on your own. You know, some common examples of this is I need a trainer to push me at the gym, or I need someone to report to that will be encouraging about the progress that I'm making, or that I don't have anyone that holds me accountable. Even the best self-starters still need someone to hold them accountable for taking actions. It's not just enough to make plans. We have to follow through on them. We have to execute them. We have to execute them after the initial excitement of that burst of creativity is gone. And one of the pitfalls of being the CEO or the owner is that there is nobody to hold you accountable for either starting to do those things you don't really like to do or finishing those tasks that you've now lost interest in. Not everything can be delegated. Some tasks are best done by you now, and that's where accountability comes in. From the coach's perspective, a key role that the coach plays is to keep track of what actions the client has committed to do at the end of each coaching session, and then to follow up at the start of the next session on what progress has been achieved. Making sure that the client acknowledges that they're going to take action and that specific, measurable milestones have been identified is the best way to wrap up each coaching session. If at the next session no progress has been made, then this needs to be discussed in detail before going on with today's hot topic. If this becomes a pattern of setting goals and then discarding them, the coach needs to explore with a client, really, what impacts this kind of behavior is having on their life. You know, understanding what you're trying to achieve is the first step in selecting a coach. You wouldn't hire the best football coach to coach you on improving your relationship with your spouse. While this train of thinking seems obvious to the client, it's not obvious to the coach. The reason for this is that most coaches have been trained to believe that their role is one of inquiry only, which means that they do not give advice, but instead focus on asking questions in the belief that you, the client, already know the answer and just need help in unlocking your brain to get at it. This is not a false belief, but it's the cause for many misunderstandings between coaches and clients. Remember the sailor versus the powerboater example, the journey versus the destination perspectives? What happens when the client comes looking for answers that he truly does not have, and the coach focuses on the process, not the results? Well, we'll talk more about that later when we look at the coaching context. Last issue in this section, then we'll take a commercial break here. If it's a corporate environment, then this is the stage where it gets a little trickier, because now there's three people involved in the coaching relationship. The coach, you as the client, and the company represented by whomever. In this kind of situation, the company, since they're paying the bills, need to be part of the coaching relationship. However, they're not sitting in the coaching sessions. They don't get a report of what went on in the coaching sessions, but they have a right and, in fact, an obligation to identify at the beginning of the coaching to both the coach and the client why a coach is being hired. What is it that the coach is supposed to work on, and what are the results or changes that they expect to be produced as a result of the coaching? From my perspective as a coach, I want that person, whoever is representing the company, to sit down with me and with the client in the company that I'm coaching and agree in front of each other, plus in writing, what the objectives of the coaching engagement are right at the very beginning. Then the person being coached, the client in this case, must agree that they're okay with that and that this is something that they agree needs to be worked on, and that they are willing to use a coach to help them work on it. At that point, we have an understanding between the coach and the client and the company, and we can go forward. If we don't have an understanding there, if there isn't total agreement, the coaching is not going to work and really shouldn't go forward. But understand that the coach also needs to make clear that they are not going to confine their coaching exclusively to those issues that have been identified at the beginning here. In other words, the relationship is left open to understand that there may be things that will come up. There may be things that are causing this issue. There may be things that are an outcome of this issue that the person needs to be coached on, and that they and the coach will work on these issues. The coach does not agree to restrict himself to just working on the agreed upon goals, but the coach does agree to guarantee that he will focus the coaching on the issues that the company has identified as a number one priority. A key part of the coaching contract then becomes periodic reviews with all of the parties involved to evaluate both progress and that the direction we're going in is the right direction. Well, let's take a minute for a commercial break here, and then I will be right back with you.
And now back to Doug.
Okay, and we're back, and we are talking today about which perspective is right, coach or client. Well, now that you, the client, have defined the destination or the goal that you want to be coached on, how do you go about actually selecting the right coach? You know, selecting a coach is not like picking a marriage partner. It's not permanent, and it's okay to try the relationship on for size. Like hiring any consultant or an advisor, you're probably confronted with lots of names and little or no experience in determining what to look for in making your selection. Asking people you know who have or are using a coach is always a good way to start. But remember the car example in the Ferrari neighborhood. Don't just get the name of a coach. Have a detailed discussion with the person you're talking to around the following questions. One, why did you select that person to be your coach? Two, how has it worked for you in terms of not just enjoying the relationship, but in terms of real accomplishments or changes that you've made as a result of the coaching? Three, would you use the coach for my issue that I'm talking about hiring a coach for? Four, what are the strengths of your coach? And five, what are the areas that you think your coach is weak in? This kind of detailed discussion produces a recommendation from someone who's using a coach that is probably going to be more in tune with what you need rather than just getting someone that they enjoy working with. You know, a common question that comes up is, are you looking for a life coach or a business coach? You know, and the definitions are what you would expect. A life coach deals with personal issues, problems, or challenges that you're having in your life away from work. And a business coach usually deals with the issues that you're having at work or with your work. However, the lines get blurred very quickly once the coaching starts. What starts out as one issue, whether it's life or business, very quickly ends up being about or involving the other. So does it make a difference as to what kind of coach you hire then? The critical element is the coach and their life experiences, not the label they've hung on their coaching practice. Remember, this is a personal service that you're hiring. You're hiring a coach to help you reach a destination or a goal. And the more experience they have in the area of your issue, the easier it will be for them to understand you. If you only speak English, do you want to hire a French-speaking only coach, even if they're a great coach? I don't think so. In most cases, I think you're better off selecting the type of coach who has experience in dealing with the issues that you're going to put on the agenda. And if you're not able to get a direct referral, then the next best place to look is at the coaching sites on the internet. Remember we talked earlier, anything you want to buy, you can get it on the internet. Most of the coaching schools have a database of coaches that will give you some idea of their qualifications, and there's many of them. The International Coach Federation is the primary licensing body, and they'll allow you to post a request for a coaching proposal for free. Many coaches, once you contact them, even offer a free session to try out the relationship. So, what is most critical in selecting a coach is if you're comfortable talking to this person. This is going to be a very personal relationship involving trust, confidentiality, and if you don't feel that these qualities exist or are evident in the first session that you have with the new coach or the prospective coach, keep looking. Remember, the coach is also trying you on for size. It is very difficult, if not impossible, to coach someone that you don't feel you can connect and relate to. Someone that you feel that you can understand, that you can be truthful with, that you can respect, that there is a compatibility in the values between the coach and the client. So both parties are trying on the relationship here. How the coaching is going to be done in terms of whether it's phone coaching or internet or face-to-face many times enters into the selection process. Phone or internet coaching allows you the greatest flexibility in selecting a coach because you're not restricted by geography. Face-to-face means that you have to consider travel time either for the coach to come to you or for you to go to the coach. In my experience, I have found that there is no difference in effectiveness between one-on-one face-to-face coaching and phone coaching. I think they both work extremely well. If they aren't going to work, if I'm going to use phone coaching, I want to go through the initial interview on the phone with the person, because if we can't talk well, if we don't communicate well together that first time in the evaluation process, it's not going to work later on. One of the other things that you, the client, may have to evaluate in your coaching is obviously the cost. What can you afford? Maybe what is the coaching worth to you? You know, in the coaching profession, there's been a lot of literature written about what is the return on investment. What's the ROI that a coach can give to their client? And in fact, it becomes an issue of how can I prove as a coach to my client that in fact the money they're paying to me, that what they got in return was greater than the cost was. Greater. It's very hard to do this unless you and the client decide up front what it is you want. What's the purpose of the coaching? Not how it's going to be solved, but what's the point? What's the end result? How will I recognize it when we get there? What would successful coaching look like to me? Then you can put a price on what that would mean to you in many cases. The price may be increased performance. The price may be new business, maybe new relationships, maybe peace of mind. Maybe you're the only one that can determine what the price should be. That sets the value of what successful coaching would mean to you. From there, it's strictly a matter of looking at, okay, can I find somebody to offer me their coaching services for something less than what I have just determined it's going to be worth to me? That then makes it a good bargain. When I'm contacted by people to hire me as a coach, one of the first questions always is, what do you charge? What's your hourly rate? And for me, that's sometimes a difficult question to answer, not understanding what the coaching relationship is going to involve. Is it around an issue that's going to be very easy, you know, kind of easy dialogue, easy discussion? Or is this going to be something that is going to be very difficult? Is this something that's going to be very stressful for me as the coach because of the impact that it's going to have on the client? And frankly, those things are as important to me in setting my fee structure as to whether or not we're going to meet weekly or monthly or every other week. This is not just the same service. You know, it is not a bottle of water. I've got one sitting on the desk here. It's not a bottle of water that, whether it says Nestle's on it or whether it says Trader Joe's, the cost should be relatively the same. It's still the same kind of water. This is a personal service. You know, at this point, we've determined our destination, goals. We've selected our guide, the coach. We now have to agree with the guide, with the coach, on what are going to be the terms of our relationship. And cost is truly the least difficult part of this. So let me take a few minutes to run down those things. One is the frequency and location. How long does this coaching last? People are always saying, you know, especially when I'm contacted by HR departments who want to hire me to coach a senior executive, how long will this engagement last? Do you think this is going to be a 1 month or 2 months? You know, without having worked with the person, without having understood the problem from the client's perspective, the true client that I'm going to be coaching, it's very difficult to set a time limit on it. Some coaching relationships are very short-termed. You and the coach decide to work on it usually weekly over a 90-day period, once a week for a half hour. That's the typical model for many coaches. At the end of the 90 days, maybe even before, if you feel comfortable that the issue's been handled, then maybe the coaching journey is over. However, many times the coaching relationship is one that can stretch on for years. The coach can become a part of your cadre of experts that you use when anything and everything comes up. I usually quote to my clients that coaching is a weekly, hourly set aside time that usually the clients don't take up more than 30 to 40 minutes of that, but I reserve the hour for them. It's theirs if they want it. That I ask for a 90-day commitment to make sure that they're mentally committed to really working on this issue, but I allow them a no-cost cancellation policy at any time during those 90 days that they don't feel that they want to go further, that the issue's been solved, or that this isn't working out. Now, coaching sessions can be done, as we mentioned, face-to-face or over the phone. The best method is really the one that you're the most comfortable with and that works for you and the coach. Most coaching's on a weekly basis, usually four times a month or weekly. I find that anything less than that, we're not talking enough to make real changes. Anything more frequently than that, there's not enough time in between for you, the client, to make the changes that are needed. Some key questions, sort of mechanical things that you want to ask as you're entering into this coaching agreement. Can a session be canceled at no charge? Most coaches are willing to work with a client on this and will allow a rescheduling of a session as long as they have enough prior notice to allow them to rebook the time. Another question, can an individual coaching session be ended before the agreed upon time, or can it be extended? You know, it's not unusual for a client to want to end a session by saying they have nothing more to talk about, or that takes care of what I need, or I'm absolutely can't handle anything more on this issue, and that's okay to end the session there. The issue of extending the session is a little more difficult because most coaches have already booked the next session, and if you need more time, it's usually a matter of scheduling another session to follow up on this before your regular session that starts again. You know, how do you tell if you're not happy with how the coaching is progressing? Well, you know, this is part of the original coaching agreement. You need to be clear as a client on what you want to accomplish out of this, and you need, if possible, to set up what are the progress points. You know, if you're trying to learn to control your temper, maybe only blowing up twice a week is an improvement over the fact that you used to blow up daily. So you can set up progress points. Can you change your goals in the middle of the coaching? You know, this frequently happens. It is up to the coach, from their perspective, to work with a client to determine that the change is really a valid one. It's not the client giving up on achieving something that's become too hard. It's identifying that, in fact, the thing we started to work on isn't as important as something else that we've discovered in the process of working on that item. Another issue to discuss, is there anything off limits in the conversation? Again, the conversation between the client and the coach is confidential. It doesn't get shared with anybody else, so that the limits of what can be discussed are really up to what you're comfortable talking to the coach about. Will anyone else in the firm be coaching me? In the case of working with a coach that's part of a coaching business, typically the answer to this is no, not unless you request it. Coaching is a confidential situation. Speaking of confidentiality, in the case where a company has retained the coach, what does confidentiality mean in terms of what is the coach going to report back to the company? For myself, and what I think I've run into with all other business coaches, what we usually agree to with a company is we will report back if the client doesn't show up for the sessions on a regular basis, or if we feel that the session, that it's not accomplishing anything, that the client isn't taking it serious, or if in fact we think that we've achieved the objectives early on. Now, in reporting this back to the company, as a coach, I would not report back why we're giving up on the client, or, you know, I'm just going to report back that I think somebody else might be a better coach, and this is not turning out to be as successful a relationship as we had all hoped it would be when we first started. You want to be sure, as we've mentioned, that you set up a way to measure success, that you measure really what you have found, what you are looking for. You know, the biggest complaint about coaching in the business world has been the inability to establish a return on investment in coaching. And this is usually due to a lack of clear definition at the start of the coaching relationship on what we are really looking for. Now, there are lots of statistics on this. We've covered this in other radio shows. I'm not going to go into this right now today in terms of calculating ROI. If you want to learn more about that, take a check of our archives, DGeffeller. That's DGeffeller.podbean.com. And you can look up coaching ROI, and you can find sessions with myself talking about it and with some of our guest coaches. Well, that's pretty much it for today. We've covered a beginning to end of a lot of information, but I think the key point to just summarize here is that what I was hoping to point out was the difference in perspective between the way in which coaches approach the coaching engagement and the way in which clients approach the coaching engagement. I don't see a problem with the fact that there's two different perspectives unless there's not an acknowledgement that there's two different perspectives. I think too often the coach talks about the journey and the process and doesn't spend enough time focusing on the results. And the client, I think many times, is not patient enough about the fact that getting an end result sometimes requires a process or a system to be worked on in order to achieve the results they're looking for. So those are some of the key things that I have provided the new coaching, the new client, the new person thinking of hiring a coach with some further clarification of what's involved in the coaching relationship and some things to look for. If you'd like to talk more about it, you're free to drop me an email at any time, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, and I'd be glad to talk to you more about it. Or, as I've mentioned, give me a call. Well, if you're listening to our podcast, then I want to thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be in the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email. If you missed any of our previous shows, you can go to our Podbean site, dgefeller, that's dgefeller.podbean.com. This is Doug Gefeller, and I hope that you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.